This is Robert Bickers of the Go-Betweens, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on Monday, November 28th. Today we're going to hear from Yvonne Taylor of the Seneca Lake Guardians, who helped pass a partial cryptocurrency mining moratorium in New York, which Governor Kathy Hochul signed last week. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin's song, and then it's time for the WGXC Local News on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
On Wednesday, November 30th, Lex Gray and the Urban Pioneers from Catskill celebrate the release of their new single, I Believe in You, from the album How Many Roads, performing at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. That's Wednesday, November 30th at 8 p.m. at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. Lex Gray and her Urban Pioneers band that usually features Sonny Rock, Ed Wilisky, Brian DeWan, and Tim Farrell. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this show and many others.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC local news for Monday, November 28th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Clarence Fanto reports for the Berkshire Eagle that a group of nonprofit cultural organizations from Berkshire County, Massachusetts, and Columbia County, New York are looking to hear from current and former art sector employees who may consider themselves underpaid and unable to support themselves and their families. Backed by the Berkshire Economic Development Agency based in Pittsfield, the Berkshire Columbia Compensation Equity Project is pulling entry-level and mid-level arts and cultural workers in the nonprofit field. The online questionnaire is looking for details on how chronic low pay for nonprofit art professionals impacts the lives of workers and their families and is a barrier to participation in the arts and culture sector. quote, passion is not a substitute for livable wages, unquote. The leaders of Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival in Beckett, the Mahawi Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington, and the WAM Theater in Lenox, community access to the arts in Great Barrington, the Berkshire Arts Center in Stockbridge, and Art Omai in Ghent, noted in a joint statement. The survey is open through December 5th, and a link to the form is available on the WGXC newsroom page. The details of the poll are expected to be announced in early 2023. The project is funded in part by the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation and was launched by the Multicultural Bridge Inclusive Leadership Cohort. According to Art Omai board member Gavin Berger, quote, new cultural offerings in our region are attracting growing numbers of homebuyers and visitors, while underfunded compensation models for arts professionals, especially entry and mid-level workers, sustain outdated and elitist notions that working in the arts is a privilege that justifies sacrifice, unquote. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that Ghent Town Board members, Democrats Patty Matheny and Kothi Zan have resigned, alleging they were cut out of the information loop, removed from most of their committee positions, and recently were denied invitations as elected officials to the town's Memorial Day and Veterans Day ceremonies. The pair submitted a three-page letter dated November 17th to the Ghent Democratic Committee, enumerating their various accomplishments, multiple allegations, and the rationale behind their resignations. Quote, we don't foresee being able to achieve anything by remaining in our current positions, Matheny and Zahn said in a joint statement. Quote, given the situation, we see no choice but to resign in protest and focus on our other personal and professional commitments, unquote. Matheny and Zahn's names remain listed on the town of Ghent's website as town board members. However, the portion of the site that links to town board minutes has not been updated since August, so it is unclear when the resignations actually took place. According to the Columbia County Democrats webpage, Matheny is the chair of the Ghent Democrats, and the Ghent Democrats Facebook page, maintained by Matheny and Zahn, is private. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Jeanette Wolfberg reports for the Columbia paper that officials in Columbia County issued a proclamation on November 1st stating, quote, members of the County Public Safety Committee by consensus call on the New York State Legislature to pass the pending Clean Slate Act and the governor to subsequently sign it, unquote. The act would seal the criminal records of convicted people 3 years after release from incarceration for a misdemeanor and 7 years after completing incarceration for a felony if they have also completed probation and parole and have no subsequent convictions or pending charges. With a person's criminal record sealed, they would be shielded from review by potential employers, housing agents, schools, and license insurers. Law enforcement and courts would still have access to those records. At the October 19th Public Safety Committee meeting, Hudson First Ward Supervisor Claire Cousin introduced the proposal. Quote, people who made a mistake and did time still find barriers. Clean State is an economic justice bill, not a public safety bill. When the bill passes, we start educating people, including employers, unquote, Cousin said. Cousin is a executive director at the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition, an organization working at the intersection of housing and criminal justice. She is also vice chair of the Hudson Housing Authority Board of Commissioners. Quote, people will make a mistake in their life, unquote, said Hudson Third Ward Supervisor Michael Chimides. Quote, they need a chance to reintegrate into society, unquote. The communities Beacon and Poughkeepsie have issued proclamations supporting the Clean Slate Act. Austerlitz Town Supervisor Robert Lagonia said the consensus of the committee is to submit a proclamation. Quote, my concern is the automaticness of it, unquote, he said. But he and Cousin had already had a, quote, good discussion, unquote, about it. Cousin said other states have clean slate laws, quote, even more progressive, unquote, than the one proposed for New York, and Pennsylvania, Michigan, Utah, and Connecticut have already passed their versions of the legislation. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
I'm Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The Jazz Disturbance features jazz and other improvised music. Tune in on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wave Farm Radio app on your smartphone. Playlists are posted at facebook.com/CKDisturbance.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, November 28th. We are 90.9% of the way through the year. That's right, there are only 23 days left until winter. Local early morning temperatures range from 42 degrees in Tannersville to 49 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 43 degrees. The closest likely snowfall will be 400 miles away today in North Maine. Temperatures creep up slowly, reaching 47 degrees by 12 p.m. Windy conditions will be around all day with gusts in the mid-20 mile per hour range. The mountains will see barely above freezing temperatures, so watch for surface ice up there and when transitioning up and down. Make sure to layer up and keep that wind out when going out. It is a gloves and hats day because of those winds. Overnight, the winds die down and we see the temperature drop to 27 degrees. Tomorrow will be calm and dry with a high of 43 at 2 p.m. 36 degrees overnight takes us into a wet and windy looking Wednesday with a high of 55. Thursday, still windy with a high of 51. Sunset today will be at 4:13 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:57 p.m. And looking way up, we see a minor geomagnetic storm is underway as the after effects of a coronal mass ejection has brought the aurora oval down to lower Canada and possibly upper continental U.S. Solar wind speed is currently 610 kilometers per second at 10.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor, verging on closed across all frequencies till dark. Then, fair conditions are expected only for below 4 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 5.3. Storm level. The current sunspot number is 56, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Galen, Tom, and Echo of Akron, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
Would you like to do a show?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
Variety says this one won't miss. Awesome beyond description.
The most extraordinary output ever to emerge from the motion picture studio.
It costs $4 million and it has 4 million thrills. I should have been left 10 years ago.
Thinking I
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. It's just sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None.
President Biden says he'll push for a ban on assault weapons during the lame duck session of Congress. This follows a mass shooting at an LGBTQ+ Colorado Springs nightclub that killed 5 and another at a Chesapeake, Virginia Walmart where 6 died. The Colorado shooter used an AR-15-style rifle, while the Virginia man bought the handgun he turned on his coworkers the same day. Ye, formerly known as Kanye West, is running for president again in 2024. The rapper and fashion designer ran in 2020 and got about 70,000 votes. He says he asked former President Donald Trump to be his running mate, but it didn't go well.
The thing that Trump was most perturbed about, me asking him to be my vice president, I think that was like lower on the list of things that caught him off guard. It was the fact that I walked in with intelligence.
Ye and Trump were joined at a Mar-a-Lago meeting last week by prominent white nationalist and Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes. Trump said the meeting was quick and uneventful. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy is still trying to lock in the 218 votes he needs to be elected Speaker of the House. Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene called on her Republican colleagues to support McCarthy's bid.
If we don't unify behind Kevin McCarthy, we're opening up the door for the Democrats to be able to recruit some of our Republicans, and they may only need one or two since we don't know what we will have in the majority, how many seats we'll have.
The midterm elections did not bring the red wave many were expecting, and what looks to be a very narrow Republican majority in the House is presenting a challenge for McCarthy. The Biden administration eased some oil sanctions on Venezuela Saturday. After years of restrictions, the Treasury Department is allowing Chevron to resume limited pumping in the oil-rich Latin American nation. This comes after Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro signed a temporary agreement with the U.S.-backed opposition, creating a U.N.-managed humanitarian fund with assets frozen overseas. A new analysis from civil rights group the Council of American Islamic Relations found that Muslims won at least 83 seats nationwide, up from 71 in 2020. Nabila Islam made history as the first ever Muslim woman and youngest woman ever elected to the Georgia Senate.
And I always like to say, when you're not at the table, you're on the menu. We see what's happening to us right now. And the only way to change this is making sure that we elect leaders who share lived experiences.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our HRS indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. There's still a lot of finger-pointing going on in Harris County, Texas, after widespread November 8th ballot shortages and other problems. While partisan accusations and a lawsuit have been leveled, it appears that a combination of lack of preparedness and voting machine problems were the biggest issues, not fraud. The Washington Post and VoteBeat Texas report that Harris County's system didn't have enough paper ballots in at least 23 of its 782 polling places. When precinct officials called for additional ballots, resupplies ran out or didn't arrive for hours. The shortage reportedly resulted in hundreds of voters being turned away. Complicating matters, Harris County doesn't have a common problem reporting software which could help monitor problems at polling places. Such a system could have helped distribute ballots to places which needed them. One precinct couldn't get its 60 voting machines to work in the morning, forcing a delay in opening. Election officials noted that it was human error, not conspiracy. The Harris County GOP filed a lawsuit claiming that the lack of ballots disenfranchised voters, and one election official claimed Harris County election officials intentionally withheld ballots for partisan reasons. Democrats pointed to problems in heavily Democratic precincts, too. State police are investigating, and Harris County is conducting an internal review to assess just how many voters were disenfranchised. We have links to articles and resources at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Chicago, that's the last place my baby stayed. Yeah,
it's right, baby.
I'm packing up my bags, gonna leave this old town right away.
Hitchhike, baby.
I've got to find that girl if I have to hitchhike around the world.
Hitchhike,
hitchhike.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Yvonne Taylor, who is the vice president of Seneca Lake Guardians. And as many people probably have heard by now, Governor Hochul finally has signed the bill to oppose a two-year moratorium on any new cryptocurrency mining operation using what's called proof of work here in New York. So Yvonne is one of the people who really fought to get this moratorium enacted. Why is this so important?
It's so important because we are in the middle of a climate crisis, and to imagine repowering or expanding decommissioned or underutilized fossil fuel burning power plants in New York State or anywhere else for that matter, simply to provide power to mine for cryptocurrency, felt literally insane.
And I mean, how big is the climate, impact? And I guess this particular way of doing it, cryptocurrency, where you basically have people sign a mathematical equation in order to create the crypto coin. What type of impact are we actually talking about?
Right. It's not all virtual currency that uses this proof of work model. But the proof of work model, they call it also cryptocurrency mining. And the mining isn't what most people think of when you take, excavation equipment and dig into the ground. The mining is done by machines that are highly specialized for this work. The problem with it is that it requires an extraordinary amount of energy, comparable to some countries like the size of Argentina. And so that's why some of these miners have decided that the best way to do it is to buy up a power plant to fuel the energy that they need. But because it's so energy consumptive, it's an industry that is really bad for the climate. And there are other forms of cryptocurrency that use models like, for example, proof of stake, that use 99% less energy than the proof of work mining does.
Now, this moratorium applies to, new permit proposals. It does not apply either to existing plants or to actually the plants already applied for permits. And one of the, motivations from people out in Seneca Lake was this proposal related to Greenwich. Where does that one stand at this point?
Right. So the Greenwich power plant was a coal-fired power plant that was shut down and producing zero carbon emissions for several years and restarted again, not to provide power to the public, but to mine for cryptocurrency, which is how Seneca Lake Guardian got involved. The Greenwich facility was positioned ideally as a test case for how other decommissioned or underutilized power plants across New York State may become revitalized again. And so we brought it from being a test case to being the poster child for what not to do with power plants in New York State. And sadly, this moratorium that the governor just signed into law has no impact on the Greenwich facility because it is grandfathered in. However, the Department of Environmental Conservation did deny its Title V air permit renewal, which is a good sign for our bold climate law in New York. And we are working now to shut it down completely, along with the Fortistar plant in North Tonawanda, which is trying to follow the Greenwich model.
Now, this bill, I believe, was actually passed, in late spring. So it took 5-6 months before the governor agreed to sign it, and actually, took place a couple of weeks after she got reelected. Is there anything to read into, why it was delayed this long? And this is a study bill. Do we know where the Hochul administration really is now, standing on the issue of this type of cryptocurrency mining and its climate impact?
Right. Well, what you saw happen, Mark, was a major Herculean victory brought about by collaborating with grassroots environmental activists and organizations across New York State. And with the help of groups like the Sierra Club, Food and Water Watch, Earth Justice, NYPIRG, and Seneca Lake Guardian, we were able to get this bill passed at the 11th hour, and then ultimately signed by Governor Hochul, despite millions of dollars of investment by the pro-crypto industry, and you know, for not only campaign donations, but also major lobbying efforts by the industry. Despite all of that attempt by the industry to squash our efforts, you know, the bill was passed and Governor Hochul finally did sign it into law. I think that bodes well for her, you know, ultimate support of New York's bold climate law. And we hope that she will continue to demonstrate to be a leader on climate for the rest of the country.
Now, many of these type of crypto mining, you know, computer farms, I guess actually have been, you know, based in China, but China eventually decided that both the cryptocurrency itself was sort of a too speculative of a financial institution, but they were also concerned about the climate impact. So they began, you know, to push them out, and they migrated to the United States, but particularly also to upstate New York. Where is this issue standing right now, say, with the Biden administration? I kind of recollect they did put out some type of statement a while back, which seemed to acknowledge some real concerns about this issue.
That's right. New York is sadly not the only state impacted by cryptocurrency mining. As you mentioned, once China began to ban the practice, these miners moved by the droves to the United States, where it's spreading like a cancer across the country. And you're right, the Biden administration's Office of Technology and Science put out a very comprehensive statement suggesting that the energy intensive nature of this industry was incompatible with our country's climate goals. In addition to that, Earth Justice also put out an amazing comprehensive guide along with the Sierra Club for other communities and other states across the country who might be experiencing the harmful impacts of this industry. It's a wonderful resource that not only demonstrates the harmful impacts of this industry, but also refutes some of the major industry talking points. And it should be useful for anyone considering some kind of federal legislation against this industry.
Now, we only have about a little over a minute left, so I'm going to throw out a question and you take it where you want. One is, one of the things the industry argues, well, we can power these plants, these facilities with renewable energy, so, you know, we don't have to have this type of negative climate impact. And then also, if people want to get more information about this issue or keep involved, how best can they do that?
Thank you. Yes. You know, that was an appealing idea in the beginning, considering, wow, well, let's just power all of these mines with renewable energy resources. However, if you look at how much energy they consume, what it only does is it takes all of those precious green electrons away from the public where we really need it most in order to achieve climate goals. And it raises the cost and the accessibility of renewable energy resources for everyday people and businesses. So that notion, while it seems on the surface to be a good one, is not at all an ideal situation. We need to move into less energy intensive modes of cryptocurrency. If you want more information, please follow Seneca Lake Guardian on Twitter, Facebook, and go to SenecaLakeGuardian.org.
Thank you very much, Yvonne Taylor. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Call the phone company, singing.
waiting for me. Thursday at 4, he came and knocking at my door singing,
hey baby, I'm your telephone man. Can you show me where you want it and I'll put it where I can. I can put it in the bedroom, I can put it in the hall, I can put it in the bathroom, I can hang it on the wall. You can have it with the buzz, you can have it with the ring, and if you really want it, you can have a ding-a-ling. Hey baby, I'm your telephone.
And then he says, now another police call, you can do it ever again. My heart began a thumping and my mind began to fly. And I knew I wasn't dealing with no ordinary guy. So while I was talking, I was thinking up my plan, and my fingers did the walking on the telephone man. Hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, get it any way you can. I got it in the bedroom, and I got it in the hall, and I got it in the bathroom, and he hung it on the wall. I got it with the buzz, and I got it with the ring. Told me what my number was, I got a ding-a-ling, a singing, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, just to do my thing. Yeah.
A bill passed by the New York State Legislature would provide ratepayers with a voice in utility rate increases. The Utility Intervenor Bill would provide for funding to allow individuals or not-for-profit groups to have a seat at the table when utility companies go before the state's Public Service Commission for a rate increase. High inflation and rising costs have been prompting rate increases across the U.S. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, energy prices in October were up 17.6% from the previous year. Bill Ferris with AARP New York says increasing rates adds to an ongoing cycle of owed payments by ratepayers.
The end result of ever-increasing energy rates in New York is people, when they can't pay their bill, they're given the opportunities to try to make up what they owe, but the arrears just pile up. And here in New York, we did have an arrears, and we continue to have an arrears crisis where people are being terminated from their utility service.
Much of the opposition to the bill has come from utility companies, particularly about the way the bill is written. Analysis by AARP New York found ratepayers were billed almost $19 million for utility companies' representation in these negotiations. Although the bill has been passed by the legislature, it's still awaiting the governor's signature. Currently, people can call the Public Service Commission during rate increases, but Ferris feels this provides a more effective way to participate, allowing ratepayers to counter rate increases made by utility companies. He doesn't want high rate hikes being approved without further examination.
We believe that this legislation becomes law, residential ratepayers should have solid representation at the table and hopefully will help push down residential energy rates in the state of New York.
With winter approaching, people will be consuming more energy to heat their homes. A report from the National Energy Assistance Directors Association finds families will be paying 17.2% more to heat their homes this winter. Since rate hikes have been on the rise, Ferris hopes people have an even playing field for voicing concerns about rate hikes. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
September the 2nd, 2017. That's your discharge date etched in your soul. It's been nearly 2 years now, gone by so fast, like the fast food restaurants they built while you were away. Pull into the drive-thru, speak into a bar. Discard the paper wrappers when you're through. These people can't comprehend the choices you've made. So you don't tell them. Some blame the action on the government. It's all orders for these lily-white comrades. They hang up their guns on a nail of rose water. Participate in their grandson's parade. But you know you had more choices than they let on. A soldier is not a cog, but a man like any other. These thoughts you revisit every time you turn on a movie and see a depiction that is far from your experience. Oh, 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 unproud warrior, unproud. When you enlisted, you remember. Essie Hinton wrote The Outsiders when she was just 15. Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein when she was just 19. And at 23, Stephen Crane published The Red Badge of Courage, which is still known as one of the most realistic depictions of war. Even though Crane was born after the Civil War ended, maybe sentiments of regret are not all that unrelatable. You've always taken lengths
proud warrior. Unproud warrior, you build your house alone. Whoa, whoa. Unproud warrior. Unproud warrior. Unproud warrior. You made your house your own.
Water dripping from the pipes down in the basement. Bare feet on a concrete floor. Notches on the wall of my solitary cell. Sweat dripping out of every pore. It feels like it takes forever. It's maybe 5 minutes on screen. But the horns will swell and the strings will sound. When that flipped quarter hits the ground. I'm doing this for revenge. We'll be right back.
Derek Bailey recorded Domestic Jungle in the 1990s, improvising on guitar along with Jungle Pirate radio stations. And he wrote about this record, quote, "The station's not there now. Usually they've started by 5:30. They've no announcements. When they go off, it just stops. When they come on, it just blasts in. It's enormously loud. I get it accidentally sometimes when I'm just messing about. So I've been listening to it, and I really like the way they do it on the radio. I have to say that in recent times, it seems to have gotten softer, a lot less abrasive in some ways. There are more vocal samples, for example. But what I do like about the radio is the live quality. Although the stuff is records, they don't leave them alone. They'll talk over them, advertise gigs, order a pizza. The music's constant, but with interruptions. It's very live, and with that sustained pace, which, of course, is inhuman, and it's nice to play along with, particularly as opposed to free jazz situations where the pace is often very slow. I found it fantastic to practice with, so for a long time I've been doing that. I've always liked the parts where the music stops and drifts along. You got some ridiculous string orchestra, then it just slips a bit. The pitch goes, or they slow it down or something. Then the drums come back. It's completely meaningless. I like that. What is a pain and can sometimes dilute it is the repetitive, looped, or sampled vocals. The funny thing is, I've never heard a jungle record. All I've heard has been off the radio," unquote. Here is Derek Bailey's Domestic Jungle record.